And welcome back to Sound Off. This is Jamie Umpfenauer in the KPRL studios. And now we're going to switch gears and we're going to be chatting with Dr. Andrew Harner. And he is an orthodontist. And I thought it'd be really interesting to talk about this topic and learn a little bit more because I think it's come a long ways. But welcome to the program, Dr. Harner.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you tell us first a little bit about yourself? How long have you been an orthodontist, and how did you choose that as your career path?
Good question. I've been an orthodontist since 2002, and really it was my experiences when I was young kind of first gave me a little bit of the interest in orthodontics when I was a patient. And then once I was in dental school, in dental school you're learning a lot of different stuff, but mainly kind of fillings and doing crowns and what we all consider the normal stuff dentists do. And then you have an opportunity, if you do well enough, to kind of specialize. And so, really once I saw kind of the transformative power of orthodontics, that's when I thought, you know what, I'm going to specialize and spend, you know, for me it was a 3 extra years with some more training to become an orthodontist. And really it is a powerful change that can happen in a child's or an adult's life, having orthodontic treatment.
And for our patients who are not sure exactly what orthodontics is, what's the best way to describe it?
Yeah, so really what orthodontists do are we straighten teeth and correct bites, and as a result, create beautiful smiles.
So with...
We do that...
Oh, go ahead.
And we do that with a lot of different tools. So what many people think of what orthodontists use might be braces and wires, but we also use clear aligners, which are kind of almost like plastic trays, that patients can wear and gradually move their teeth. We use other removable appliances to help with certain types of things. So there are a lot of different tools that orthodontists use to create perfect bites and straight teeth.
So when a person, everybody's born with their genetics, are there different traits that are passed down from parent to child that would affect their jaw or their teeth or, that structure?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. So there's, when we look at bad bites or what we call malocclusions, it really is spawned from a couple different things. And certainly genetics plays a role, but also just environmental factors. So patients that may have a mouth breathing habit. So maybe they've got terrible allergies and so they always breathe through their mouths. Those patients tend to have very narrow jaws. And as a result, they tend to have a lot of crowding. And sometimes their front teeth won't meet together at all. And so really kind of breathing, being able to breathe through your nose can really affect the shape of your jaws. Also, thumb sucking. So if someone is a persistent thumb sucker, that changes the shape of their upper jaw and resulting in teeth that may not meet together in the front. And so even though genetics does play a component, certainly environmental factors like habits, either breathing or, say, thumb habits can certainly change and alter the growth and the shape of the jaws.
It sounds like maybe with the children who have been thumb suckers, it was pretty... It's pretty intense thumb sucking to create that kind of damage.
It depends because, most kids have, most children when they're infants have a non-nutritive sucking habit, right? Mm-hmm. And so whether someone's using a binky or a pacifier or a thumb, in general, that's okay. And when we start to, once it persists beyond about 5, 6 years old, that's when we start to be a little more concerned, and it's when the front permanent teeth are starting to erupt. That's when it's best to try and, get that habit under control. Mm-hmm. So certainly the toddlers that are you know, maybe done thumb sucking at 2 or 3. You know, it, you don't see long-term changes, but it's the ones that are persistent. You know, sometimes we'll see patients up in, you know, 11, 12 years old that are, might still be having a digit sucking habit.
And a lot of that happens at nighttime, so they're not even aware of it, huh?
Right. And so certainly it's kind of a team-type effort. A lot of those patients want to quit, but it's something almost subconscious that they're doing when they're, you know, super tired and going to sleep, or it just, it happens to go in. So we'll use like habit appliances that kind of remind them, and it feels a little bit different when they go to suck their thumb, and so it kind of prevents them from doing that.
Help break the habit so you can do your job. Oh, wow. So what are some of the benefits to orthodontics and having your bite or your alignment corrected, besides the beautiful smile? Because we know that no matter what, that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, especially at the younger age, since we're kind of talking about kind of early treatment, certainly improving their appearance and their self-esteem. And that's kind of early treatment can do that for children. And especially with bullying being kind of a huge thing nowadays where everyone's recognizing that, you know, improving someone's self-esteem or their appearance can really kind of help patients that might be getting bullied. Also, you know, just changing the positions of teeth so that they're less susceptible to trauma. So that's another thing. When they're younger and they might still have some baby teeth, if patients can't close their lips naturally without their front teeth sticking out, say, between their lips, then those children are at a really high risk of fracturing their upper front teeth. So sometimes we'll want to bring those back so they can close their lips naturally. So it's kind of a trauma prevention type thing. Other benefits of doing this is at an early age is just guiding their jaw growth. So some kids, depending on their bite, if an orthodontist isn't able to see them while they're in their growing years, then depending on the type of bite, if we see them as an adult, we might then be forced to say, you know what, now we can't just correct this with braces, but now we need, or braces and say aligners or something like that, now we need surgery, like jaw surgery, in combination with some orthodontic treatment. And so it's kind of trying to prevent that type of thing. If you wait too long and then they're done growing, we can't have the opportunity to help guide their jaw growth.
Very interesting. So, because one of my questions for you was, how young is too young for children to be seen or to start doing some of the more mild procedures?
Yeah. You know, the American Association of Orthodontists recommends that first dental screening at age 7. Usually by that time, most children have their front adult teeth in and their 6-year molars, which are kind of the first molars in the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And once those teeth are in, that's really when orthodontists are able to visualize and spot kind of subtle changes in bite and positions of teeth and be able to then recommend, you know what, this is something where, or a patient that will need to have kind of early treatment, or everything looks fine and this patient can wait till all the permanent teeth are in, and then we can talk at that point about straightening things. So just to kind of be clear, just because someone comes in at 7 years old, like in my practice, it's probably only about 25 to 30% of patients even need this kind of early treatment. A lot of them, we just wait till all the baby teeth are out and then all the permanent ones are in, and then it's a question of, okay, now do we want to straighten these teeth when they're like 12 or 13 once all the permanent ones are in?
So for the young ones, do you ever have to pull teeth? Because in the x-rays you can see above where there's permanent teeth. Is that something that usually is necessary?
You know what? We try and avoid it if possible, but certainly there are times where it makes sense in certain patients to have teeth pulled.
Okay.
So if they're so extremely crowded, then it does make sense. Pretty rare, I would say, you know, in my practice at that age, kind of in that 7 to 8 range where we're kind of seeing them for the first time, I would say probably less than 1% of my practice that we would recommend kind of what we call a serial extraction protocol.
Very interesting. Yeah. We're going to place Dr. Harner on hold, and then we'll take a we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back to talk more about orthodontics. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to call in at 238-5775-238-KPRL. This is Jamie Umpenauer for Sound Off, and we'll talk to you after the break.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. A big announcement at the White House.
It is my pleasure and my honor to announce my nomination of Jerome Powell to be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Powell, a Fed governor since 2012, nominated by President Obama, praised current Fed Chief Janet Yellen and her predecessor, Ben Bernanke.
If I am confirmed by the Senate, I will do everything within my power to achieve our congressionally assigned goals of stable prices and maximum employment.
Janet Yellen's term as Federal Reserve chairman up in February. Earlier, the president praised the tax reform proposal unveiled today by House Republicans, saying it will help the economy and create jobs. He expects to have a bill on his desk to sign by Christmas. Democrats say the measure will hurt the middle class and balloon the federal deficit. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's that time again when your family and friends come to visit and your guest bed is shot. Don't worry, at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside, you can get a quality queen set for only $399 in firm or plush. We have 25 models to choose from, and all are on sale now. Most sets are available for immediate pickup or same-day delivery. And don't forget our adjustable beds. Nobody has better value. So don't waste your money on an expensive set from other stores. Come in today and get a top-quality mattress set on sale now at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Thyborg Sand and Gravel announces the exciting arrival of their new Cartaway concrete fleet. Thyborg, the name you trust, now brings you an easier solution for mixing concrete. $150 per cubic yard for five-stack mix plus trailer rental for quarter to 1 3/4 cubic yards. Keep it simple, hook it up, load it up, and off you go without costing you a load. 238-4368 Thyborg Sand and Gravel. 238-4368 or ThyborgSand.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. You know the drill? The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back to Sound Off. This is Jamie Umpenauer in the KPRL studios, and we're joined by Dr. Andrew Harner. He's an orthodontist, and we're talking about, how young is too young, and what exactly does orthodontics do? So, Dr. Harner, if you have a bad bite or alignment issues, and you go without having it taken care of through your young years, and you become an adult, can that cause you problems down the road?
Yeah, it really can. We see a lot of adults that have, at probably the most common thing would be seeing just adverse wear problems. So teeth are not meeting in the correct positions, and as a result, they're wearing down in abnormal ways. And so there, lots of times we'll have dentists refer patients over to us because they want to, say, put a crown or something on that badly broken down tooth, and now they can't put the crown there because the tooth has been worn down so much. So we'll have to move the tooth back into a good position to then allow the dentist to do the work to repair the tooth that's been damaged. So that's probably the most common thing we see is just adverse wear, but certainly there can be kind of just overall functional issues too, kind of joint type stuff that can happen with bad bites. Also just soft tissue trauma, so the way the teeth are coming together, believe it or not, whether it's biting on cheeks or if the teeth, sometimes we'll see teeth kind of digging into the gums on the opposite arch. So when they're biting down, it kind of causes trauma to the tissues in the opposite jaw. So, yeah, certainly there can be issues without treatment.
Sounds so painful.
Yeah. Can be.
So what about wisdom teeth? Because we know, especially, you know, with teenagers, braces almost seem like a rite of passage because most of the time they're getting them in their early teens. But then there's those wisdom teeth that come in a little bit later. Do you have to have those wisdom teeth pulled out beforehand, or do you just let them come in as they naturally would and still do your braces? What kind of issues can crop up?
Yeah, so generally for my patients, if they're being treated before we would expect their wisdom teeth to be coming in, and if they're being treated while their jaws are still growing, then I'm monitoring wisdom teeth while they're in treatment. And generally we're making the assessment if the teeth will have enough space to allow them to fully erupt and be in function, meaning they can bite against the opposite wisdom tooth. So some wisdom teeth just come in kind of sideways and at a bad angle, and they will never come up into a correct position. So they're kind of almost, they look on the x-ray like they're tipped on their side. And so those ones, because of the position at the by which they're erupting, they'll never, those ones will always need to come out. But it's the other ones that look like they're coming into a good position. We're just trying to see, will there be enough jaw growth by the time, you know, boys, it's usually their jaws are done growing maybe 18 years old. For girls, it's around 15 or 16. And that's when we'll make the call and say, you know what, there's really not going to be enough space. Or, you know what, continue to monitor it and see if they come in.
Okay, so it's kind of a wait and see.
Really, yeah, and it's case by case, too. You know, not everyone kind of fits into the same box. I mean, certainly some children's jaws are just naturally going to be smaller, and those ones probably won't be able to accommodate the wisdom teeth. Most patients nowadays do have to have their wisdom teeth taken out, as a side note.
Yeah, I had mine taken out as an adult, and then my husband actually has his, and all his teeth are perfectly straight, and he never even had braces. Kind of crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, I was like, what's up with this?
I know.
And so another question I had for you was, back in the old days, we all remember these poor kids that had to wear headgears.
Right.
Are they used anymore? Or was there a purpose to them?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of different, essentially that appliance was trying to correct a particular jaw issue where usually the lower jaw was set back a little bit or the upper jaw was a little bit too far forward. And so headgear would help kind of bring that upper jaw back and allow that lower jaw to come forward so that the bite would be corrected. There's a lot of other appliances now that have that same what we call a headgear effect. And whether it's like springs that can be worn inside the mouth, usually it's that type of appliance that we call these class 2 correctors. So we still need to correct those types of bites. Headgear is it's still used, but probably not as often as it was in the past, but it is a good appliance, I would say. It does work well. And I think the other thing, too, orthodontists that use it, we realize now that you can get that correction in while children are sleeping and maybe a couple hours outside of nighttime. In the past, some kids had to wear it to school. So we realize now you can wear that and have the same effect just by wearing it at night. So I always tell people, you never know. There might be a lot of kids running around with headgear and just no one knows about it because they're now just sleeping with it and maybe a couple hours after dinner wearing it.
Yeah, I remember, you know, poor kids in school. They were the ones that got picked on. Actually, and it used to be uncool to have braces. And according to the teenagers that I'm around all the time, they're telling me braces are kind of cool now.
And yeah, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like glasses used to be, you know, bad and everybody made fun of you, and now kids want to wear glasses.
Right, yeah, I find it's definitely like an accessory, and it's the young ones that come in, just when we were talking about earlier, only 25 or 30% of kids need that early type of treatment. It's those ones when I tell, usually it's the younger girls, when I tell them, hey, you don't need braces yet. We got to wait for more baby teeth. They are so bummed out. They really want them. They just look so upset. So kids really like them. They like picking the colors. You know, it's there's a lot more fun stuff that we use. They love picking colors every month for their braces to kind of accessorize or what they're wearing or what's going on holiday-wise and stuff like that.
Dave, I think that has come a long ways. When I had braces, there were no choices of anything whatsoever.
Right.
And
right.
Now, I mean, to pick your colors to coordinate with, you know, if it's homecoming week or,
yeah,
you know, your FFA colors or whatever is just a riot. And then the different retainers, you can do all kinds of patterns and cute stuff on them. So
yep,
the kids have it a lot better now.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I'm always surprised when I'm not, because you know what? My kids have braces now too, and they love them, and they love picking the colors. And then I know when they go to get the retainers, they love looking at all the choices they can, you know, and think of stickers to put in their retainers and different glitter. And oh, it's fun for them.
Yeah,
you definitely make it fun for them. So.
Yeah, it makes you on the cooler side apparently now. So you know, it takes the stigma away of having those braces put on.
Right.
Now, because you've come a long way in orthodontics, and I'm sure it's, you know, research and study, has it cut the time frame down for how long kids have to wear braces, or is it still very case by case?
You know, it's case by case, and so with increasing complexity really translates to longer treatment. And the way to think about it is, if you have to move a tooth really far to get it into the correct position, it takes longer than if you have to move it just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So certainly it's case by case, but at the same time, with some of the innovations with wires and bracket types, treatment times are going down on average. So it's not, you know, it used to be, 27 plus months was kind of the national average for all types of orthodontic treatment. Now it's way under 2 years. Quite often in our office, most patients fall into the year and a half of treatment type time.
That's not too bad. You get them off before you're a senior in high school, so that's
right.
That's a pretty good deal. Now, what about adults? Because you know, we had mentioned before commercials about, you know, adults that didn't have it taken care of when they were younger, and they might really need braces. But then, for an adult, there's that appearance part where, you know, you don't want to have the shiny silver braces with hot pink bands. I mean, are there options for adults where it's a little bit less noticeable?
Yeah, for sure. So certainly everyone might initially think of, say, metal braces with wires as the only tool that orthodontists use. But there are clear braces with, you know, white wires, and that looks more aesthetic. There's lingual braces, so you don't see anything at all, but braces are placed on the inside or kind of the back sides of your teeth.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's probably the most aesthetic of all the tools that we use. It's probably the most aesthetic tool because it's kind of on the inside of the teeth, so no one really would even see that. And then, of course, there's what I referred to earlier, clear aligners. And people probably think of, you know, companies like Invisalign that make clear aligners, but there are a couple other companies out there that make aligners that do tooth movement. So Invisalign and aligners are certainly good aesthetic treatment options as well.
With those aligners, is it for more of the quote-unquote easy cases where it's just, you know, a little bit of shifting?
Yeah, you know what? It is. But, you know, I always like to tell patients, you know, clear aligners have evolved over time. And so when they first came out, it was such a narrow range of what they could treat effectively. And as there's been some innovations with the aligner plastics and the way the orthodontist handles and uses auxiliaries like rubber bands and things like that, we can treat a little more difficult cases with aligners. So it really, I think it's it's kind of the orthodontist that has a lot of the tools in their toolbox, per se, that can, if someone comes in and says, I really want Invisalign or I really want clear aligners, of course, I think every orthodontist wants to, you know, meet the goals of the patient and give them a perfect smile with the most aesthetic or kind of the way they want it done, say with clear aligners. And so it's really the orthodontist that then, you know, we have to think, okay, well, maybe we'll use a few braces in the way back for maybe a difficult tooth movement that we know maybe a clear aligner can't handle, but then we'll use the aligners everywhere else. So sometimes we do what I call combination cases. So there's some braces maybe in the back, but we're using Invisalign everywhere else. So we try and kind of tailor it to the patient's needs and wants.
Fascinating. So one of my last questions for you is about after you've done all your treatments, you've been without your braces now. I know that a lot of the time on the bottom teeth, they're putting a permanent retainer on the backside, but
right.
Is that those retainers or appliances after, for years afterwards, are they as crucial as we think they are, or can your teeth move again?
Well, you know what? Teeth, just during kind of an aging process, well, first of all, teeth can always move. And so the same way that we can straighten an 80-year-old's teeth, you know, anyone who's living, their teeth can move. And it really, tooth movement occurs because of forces that are being placed on the teeth. And those forces can come from not only braces or aligners, but they can come from tongues and lips and cheeks. Mm-hmm. And so as we age, there are changes that are happening to our lips and cheeks. And, you know, sometimes crowns are being placed on teeth, and now all of a sudden there's a tighter contact back there if, you know, a tight crown has been placed. So there are changes that are occurring naturally as we age. And certainly those changes can be reflected in teeth shifting.
Very good.
So I just tell patients retainers need to be worn if you want to keep your teeth straight.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Harner, for giving us your time. You have a wonderful day. And we'll be